Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21-2011.com with a continued study on Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. This will be part 5, which is actually chapter 39, verses 7 through 10. And what we'll do is first read the verses 7 through 10, and then we'll go through each verse individually. So let's begin with verse 7. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the handstaves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those who robbed them, saith the Lord God. Now let's take each verse individually. Verse 7 reads like this. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Now, as we had learned in the previous verse in our previous study, we are in the context of Yahweh bringing His spiritual fire, that is judgment, upon the world. This we know began on May 21, 2011, when Yahweh's jealousy exploded over the spiritual destruction of the churches at the hands of Satan and the world. The result being that Yahweh turned His wrath upon Satan and the world by sending a spiritual fire, which was the removal of salvation from their midst. This meant that never again could anyone in the world be saved with eternal life, which in turn meant that the billions of people in the world who were not saved before May 21, 2011 are now destined for nothing but eternal death, which they will either experience during the normal course of their lives when they die, or if they have not yet died by the last day, then they will all be annihilated forevermore on the last day in the fire of Yahweh's wrath as this world is destroyed forevermore. Next, it is the context of Judgment Day that Yahweh now says, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. Literally, the verse reads, and my holy name will I make known in the midst of my people Israel. So, through the process of judging the world, Yahweh makes known His holy name in the midst of, or among, His people Israel. This reveals that Yahweh's people must be present while judgment is taking place. And to the elect, this is not surprising, since we do find ourselves still in this world while Yahweh brings His spiritual judgment upon the world ever since May 21, 2011. But just how is Yahweh making His name known to His elect, Israel, during Judgment Day? why he is making his name known through his word, of course. As the elect study his word, as they hear and proclaim his word about spiritual judgment on the world. So in that Yahweh says that he will make his name known among his people Israel, the elect, in the context of judgment, he is saying that his word will be going forth during judgment day, since this is how Yahweh's holy name is made known in the midst of his people Israel, the elect, and through whom will the word be going forth? Why, through his prophets, of course. In other words, during judgment day, Yahweh's prophets who are present in the midst of judgment day will be proclaiming the word, which makes known the holy name of Yahweh. It is he who was set apart as the judge. It is he who was set apart in bringing judgment. It is he who was set apart as the one and only true God. All the other so-called gods, we know, are idols. Now, returning to our verse, Yahweh says, "And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore." Actually, the two words, "let them," are not in the original text, but because it is not conceivable that Yahweh, who is absolutely pure and holy by nature, could ever personally pollute himself, we know that any polluting of Yahweh that took place must have been from others. Hence, our verse rightfully reads, "And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore." But who, then, are they who had polluted his name in the past? For Yahweh to say in the context of Judgment Day that he will never allow his name to be polluted again obviously means that his name was polluted in the past. And who had it been that polluted his name in the past? Why, it was Israel, of course. That is, it was ancient Israel first, but then also the new Israel second, namely all the churches and denominations. They had both polluted his name, and this is why Yahweh brought judgment against them both, the latter having been judged through Satan and the world as they came against all the churches and denominations from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011 to infiltrate them with false believers and teachings and with a false gospel that could not save. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit had removed himself from all the churches at this time, which meant salvation came to an end in all the churches, which also left the door wide open for Satan to take up his seat of rule in the churches as the man of sin, or the Antichrist, who spiritually destroyed all the churches with his false teachings and gospels. And all this was because Yahweh's name had been polluted due to the churches and denominations not having carefully listened to and obeyed the word of Yahweh for hundreds of years, but instead having created their own false teachings to which they bowed the knee, even to idols. But now, on Judgment Day, Yahweh says, "And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore." So never again will Yahweh's people be able to pollute his name. And we all know why this is. It is because on the last day of Judgment Day, at the end of the world, the elect will receive their new sinless bodies to match their already sinless spirits that they had received when they first were saved, so that then they will be both sinless in body and in spirit. This means that they will never be able to pollute the name of Yahweh again, because they will not be able to sin in either spirit or body. They will never, ever be able to come up with anything that is false and not in accord with the word of Yahweh. Yes, the elect will be like Yahweh in the sense that he cannot possibly sin, and so also will the elect not be able to sin. And not only will the elect not be able to pollute Yahweh's holy name, but nobody else will be able to pollute his name either, because everyone else will be annihilated on the last day forevermore. And so, the elect will not be able to pollute the name of Yahweh ever again, because they have been perfected, and neither will anyone else be able to pollute the name of Yahweh again, because they will no longer exist. And so it will be for all eternity that Yahweh will not let his holy name be polluted, for indeed, it will not even be possible to do so. Next, our verse reads, "And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel." So not only will Yahweh not let his name be polluted again in the context of Judgment Day, but the heathen shall know that Yahweh is the Lord, the Holy One in Israel, in the context of Judgment Day as well. Now, since the word heathen can be translated as nations, what we are being told here is that the nations shall know that Yahweh is the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. And just how will the nations know that Yahweh is the Lord, the Holy One of Israel? Why, through his prophets, of course. As they declare more and more faithfully the judgment and wrath of Yahweh on the world ever since May 21, 2011, more and more of the nations will come to hear of Yahweh, the Holy One of the elect, that is, of Israel. And then, on the last day of Judgment Day, as this world begins to be destroyed, the nations will certainly know that Yahweh is Lord, the Holy One of the elect, who had proclaimed what is now happening. The nations will then say, certainly, their God is God, for he is the judge of the whole world, and who can stand? But unfortunately, it will be too late for them. But on their way to being destroyed forevermore, they will know that Yahweh is Lord, the Holy One of Israel, as it is written in Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, that is Yahweh, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ," that's Yahweh, "is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, moving on to verse 8 of Ezekiel 38 through 39, this will be verse 8. "Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken." In this verse, Yahweh speaks as if the day of judgment on May 21, 2011 had already come, and everything was already fulfilled when this was first written more than 2,500 years ago. He says, "Behold, it is come, and it is done." Yahweh can do this because what he declares is so certain to take place that he can speak of it as if it has already taken place, even though it has not. The idea is that what Yahweh prophesies is so absolutely certain to take place, just as it was prophesied, that it can be considered a done deal long before it actually takes place. This is how, for instance, that Abraham could be made a father of many nations before he actually was. It was because Yahweh prophesied him to be a father of many nations in Genesis 17, verse 5. And thus, it was so certain that he would eventually become a father of many nations, as Yahweh had prophesied, that Yahweh could already speak of him, that is Abraham, as if he were already a father of many nations. As we read in Romans 4, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee, that is Abraham, a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That is Abraham being a father of many nations. Thus we see how Yahweh can calleth those things which be not as though they were. It is because what Yahweh prophesies is so certain to take place that he can speak of it as if it already has. This is what Yahweh is doing in our verse. He is speaking of Judgment Day as if it is come and it is done, because it was so certain that it would come and would be done in our day that Yahweh could speak of it as if it had already come and had already been done over 2,500 years ago. Yes, God, who calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now in our verse, Yahweh says, this is the day where I have spoken. This day, of course, gives reference to Judgment Day, which we know began on May 21, 2011. As we have been learning, this is when Yahweh, in his furious anger against Satan and the world for their having spiritually destroyed the churches and denominations, brought a fire, that is judgment, against them. This fire consisted of the removal of eternal salvation from their midst, so that every single one of them would be guaranteed eternal death, which is eternal non-existence, instead of having the possibility of eternal life in the loving arms of our Creator, they would now be destined to die during some time in the normal course of their lives. Or if they are still alive come the last day of this world, they will be annihilated in the literal fire of Yahweh's wrath. Whatever the case, every person who was not saved by May 21, 2011, sadly, this includes the infants and the children as well, are now certain to die ever since May 21, 2011. And they will never have the privilege of the possibility of eternal life again, but only the deep darkness of non-existence forevermore. Yes, this is the day of which Yahweh had spoken, and it is terrible in our eyes. Now, verse 9 of Ezekiel 38 through 39, this is verse 9. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. Here we first read, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth. Israel, as we know, spiritually refers to the elect. And because the external representation of the elect was the corporate church, they too can be called Israel. But here in this verse, Israel refers to the elect only, as we shall see a little later. And the cities of Israel refer to all the various spiritual places throughout the world where the elect are found. We can see perhaps a little more clearly what the cities of Israel refer to when we take a look at the spiritual meaning of Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. There we read, "But when they persecute you," that is, when they persecute you, Jesus' disciples, "in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you," that is, Jesus' disciples, "you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel," there's that phrase, cities of Israel, "till the Son of Man be come." Literally, this verse seems to say that Jesus' disciples will not have witnessed the gospel to all the literal cities of literal Israel until Christ come. But spiritually speaking, this is saying that Jesus' disciples will not have witnessed the gospel to all the spiritual places in the world where the elect are found until Christ come. This is because Israel spiritually refers to the elect, and cities spiritually refer to all the spiritual places where the elect dwell in the world, just as it did in our verse. So when our verse says, "And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth," it means that they that dwell in the spiritual places in the world where the elect are found shall go forth. And who is it that dwells in the spiritual places of the world where the elect are found? Why, it is the elect themselves, of course. Our verse then, which says, "And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth," simply means that the elect in the world will go forth. But what, according to our verse, will the elect go forth to do? In answer, we read, "And they shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears." Therefore, we are told that the elect will go forth to set on fire and burn the weapons of Satan and his people. But they are not literally, of course, setting the weapons on fire. They are spiritually setting them on fire as they proclaim judgment by the Word of God, beginning on May 21, 2011. As we read in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" And we read in Isaiah 30, verse 33, "For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it." Now, since the breath of the Lord is equivalent to being the Word of God, for instance, in the Greek we read, "All Scripture is God-breathed," in 2 Timothy 3:16. This verse is telling us that the Word of God, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. That is, the Word of God is declaring judgment ever since May 21, 2011, has kindled a fire. And it is the elect who, through their declaration of judgment, through the Word of God, have spiritually set on fire all the weapons of Satan and his people. And as a result, all of Satan's weapons have been rendered useless by the fire. But now let's take a closer look at the weapons of Satan to better understand how they have been rendered useless by the Word of God, that is the fire of Judgment Day. First, we are told that the shields and the bucklers have been set on fire by the Word of God through the elect. Spiritually speaking, shields and bucklers are for protection, and they represent Yahweh himself when applied to the elect, but they must represent the false gods of the enemy when applied to the non-elect. Now, in that the shields and bucklers represent Yahweh with respect to the elect, we can see in many verses. For instance, in Genesis 15, verse 1, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." In Deuteronomy 33, verse 29, we read, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, we read, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield." And there are many more such verses in the Psalms where we read, for instance, in Psalm 3, verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." And in Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler," that word buckler is the same one that's translated shield in our other verses, "my shield in the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And in Psalm 18, verse 30, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler," that is shield, that's the same word translated as shield in other places, "to all those that trust in him." And as one more example, we read in Psalm 91, verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Here, his truth, of course, is the Word of God. And the Word of God is Yahweh. So this verse is really saying the same thing, namely that his truth, that is Yahweh, shall be thy shield and buckler. So what we can conclude then is that the shield and the buckler represent Yahweh himself as the shield and buckler of the elect. But what then do the shield and the buckler represent of the non-elect? Why, if they represent Yahweh with respect to the elect, then it follows that they must represent a false Yahweh with respect to the non-elect. And this brings us back to our verse, which reads, "And they," that is the elect, "that dwell in the cities of Israel," that is the spiritual cities of the elect, "shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years." Now we know what it means that the elect will go forth to set on fire the shields and the bucklers. It means that as the elect go forth proclaiming the judgment of the Word of God, that is the fire, ever since May 21, 2011, the fire is burning up Satan's weapons. And two of those weapons are the shield and buckler, which represent the false Yahweh, Satan, as he spiritually destroyed the churches and set himself up in the churches as the man of sin from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. To the people in the churches, he was worshipped as Christ. But to the elect, they fled the churches in obedience to their Lord's command to depart out. And you can click on the link, "Why Leave All the Churches," to see why the elect departed out. But now, ever since May 21, 2011, the shields and the bucklers of Satan's armies who spiritually destroyed the churches have been spiritually burned up and so rendered of no effect. What this means is that their ruler, the false Christ, Satan, has been made of no effect. In fact, he has been deposed, we know, from ruling over the churches any longer. And he has been cast into the spiritual fire that began on May 21, 2011, until when on the last day he will be completely annihilated forevermore. Oh yes, he can still go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but he can no longer rule over the churches, nor over the world, as Christ has now come to take his place and rule the world with a rod of iron that does not allow for the salvation of anyone else. This is the day of judgment. Next, we are not only told by our verse that the elect shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the shields and the bucklers, but also the bows and the arrows. The bows and the arrows, as we had learned in verse 3 of Ezekiel 38 through 39, part 4, and you can click on the link to see, represent the deceptive words which go forth from Satan and his armies of people in an attempt to deceive the very elect. But because these bows and arrows, that is, deceptive words of Satan's army, have been burned up in the spiritual fire ever since May 21, 2011, they have been rendered of none effect. And we can understand just how they have been rendered of none effect, in that all the elect have now been saved as of May 21, 2011. And this now means that all of Satan's deceptive words used in an attempt to keep the elect from being saved were useless. They did not keep the elect from being saved. So in this sense, they have come to be of none effect. Yes, the bows and the arrows, the deceptive words of Satan against the elect, have been set on spiritual fire and burned up because all the elect have now become saved, which proves the deceptive words of Satan and his armies to have been of no effect in keeping the elect from salvation. Now, in our verse, we further read that the elect will set on fire the hand staves and the spears. The word here translated as hand staves is found only here in the Bible, and so we have no help in discovering any spiritual meaning to it. On the other hand, we do find the word translated as spears 15 times in the Bible, and some of these verses seem to infer that spears had to do with strength in battle. For instance, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 8, we read, "And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for battle, that could handle shield and buckler, that is spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as the swift as the roes upon the mountains." In 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 12, "And in every several city he put shields and spears and made them exceeding strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side." And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 8, we read, "And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor." So now, in that spears seem to symbolize strength in battle, and according to our verse, the elect have set on fire and burned the hand staves, that is the war clubs. Hand staves is really just an old English word for war clubs. And the spears. It means that with the coming of judgment beginning on May 21, 2011, Satan and his army's strength has been burned up. That is, it has been destroyed. And we can understand how this is because we know that Satan was deposed from both ruling over the world and all the churches. And he has now been cast into the spiritual fire that was kindled by the Word of God on May 21, 2011. He now has no official rule whatsoever, but he is still able to harass and do certain things in the world until when on the last day he will be completely annihilated. But until then, we can say that Satan's strength has been destroyed because all the elect have become saved. This means that Satan's strength to frustrate Yahweh's plan to save all his elect has been conquered, and in this sense, his strength has failed him. It is as if it has been set on fire and burned. Never again will he be able to stop or hinder the salvation of one of Yahweh's elect, because they are all now saved as of May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began. And now they are simply waiting for the last day of Judgment Day, when they will be changed into new bodies that are fit to live forever in the new heaven and earth that will be created by their Lord, Yahweh. Now, finally, we are told in our verse that they, that is the elect, shall burn them, that is the weapons, with fire 7 years. Now, are we to take this literally and say that the elect will spiritually burn the weapons of Satan and his armies for a literal 7 years? Of course not. This is all spiritual language, and the 7 years is not to be taken literally, but the number seven is symbolic of perfection. Therefore, what our verse is telling us is that the elect will go forth and set on fire and burn in judgment the spiritual weapons of Satan with the Word of God, beginning on May 21, 2011, for the perfection of Yahweh's plan. As we know, this could be for a period of 1,600 days, which ends on October 6th of 2015. And you can click on the link, Could the End Come on October 6, 2015, to get more information. But whatever the case, the 7 years simply reveals that the spiritual fire of judgment against Satan and the world will last for the perfection of Yahweh's plan, whatever actual length that time period might be. Okay, moving on to our last verse in this study, verse number 10, we read, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and they shall rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. In this verse, after revealing to us in the previous verse that the elect will burn the weapons of Satan and his armies through the spiritual fire of the Word of God in judgment for 7 years, which is for the perfection of Yahweh's plan, we literally read, and they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests. Is this saying, as it seems, that the elect shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests, or that Satan and his army shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests? In other words, who is the they who shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests? Well, since the elect, by the Word of God in judgment, are not involved in the making of weapons from wood, but rather the burning of the weapons of wood of Satan and his armies, the they who shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests, for making weapons, must be referring to Satan and his armies. And the reason why Satan and his armies are not carrying any wood out of the field or any trees out of the forest in order to make weapons is because they, the elect, we are told, shall burn the weapons with fire. So what we're being told here is that because the elect are burning Satan's weapons during Judgment Day, Satan and his people are not making any weapons from wood out of the field or from the trees out of the forests. Now, what does it spiritually mean that Satan and his armies take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any trees out of the forest? In answer to this, we first need to know that the word translated as wood is most often translated as tree. Therefore, our verse can read, "And they shall take no tree out of the field, neither cut down any trees out of the forests." And now when we look up the word translated as tree in the Bible, we find that it can symbolize the elect. For instance, in Isaiah 65, verse 22, "They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." And we read of the blessed elect man in Jeremiah 17, verse 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." Furthermore, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, we find that an apple tree symbolizes Christ. And if a tree can represent Christ, then it can represent the elect as well, since they are, after all, his body. We read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Now let's go back to our question. What does it spiritually mean that Satan and his armies take no tree out of the field, neither cut down any trees out of the forests? Well, it means that during Judgment Day, beginning on May 21, 2011, Satan and his people take out no elect person out of the field, neither cut down any elect out of the forests. What this spiritually means is that during Judgment Day, which we are now in, Satan and his people are not able to spiritually take out, that is, remove, or spiritually cut down, that is, kill the elect, as they were once able to do when they came up against the churches from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. If you will remember, when Satan came up against the churches to destroy them, the two witnesses, the law and the prophets, via the elect, were overcome and killed. We read about this in Revelation 11. You click on the link to read about it, where we read, "And when they," that is the two witnesses, "shall have finished their testimony, the beast," that is Satan, "that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them." Now, this was not a literal killing of the elect, but a spiritual killing of the elect whereby their message was silenced by either ignoring the elect or not letting them speak or teach in the church or having them thrown out of the church. In whatever way, the message of the law and the prophets was silenced by silencing the elect in the churches. They were looked down upon, shunned, ignored, and even cast out from the churches. This was a spiritual killing of the elect and their message. But now, ever since May 21, 2011, Satan is not able to spiritually kill the elect and their message of spiritual judgment upon the churches and the world. This is due in part to the elect no longer being in any church. And you can click on the link, Why Leave All Churches, to learn more about that. But also because, as we have discovered in our verse, Satan and his armies take no tree, that is elect, out of the field, neither cut down any trees, that is elect, out of the forests. In other words, Satan is not able to spiritually kill, that is silence, the elect during Judgment Day from May 21, 2011 to the end of the world. And we can understand this completely when we remember that Satan is no longer ruler over the world or over the church, but he was deposed on May 21, 2011. In fact, we now know that Christ is ruling over everything with a rod of iron. And he has determined that the message of spiritual judgment on the world with no more salvation cannot be thwarted. His elect will not be silenced as they were in the past in the churches, but their message will go forth freely, namely that Satan and the entire world of unsaved people no longer have any hope for salvation. They are guaranteed to die, and they have all been thrown into the spiritual lake of fire, which will literally be manifest on the last day when the elements will burn with fervent heat, and Satan, his demons, and all his unsaved people who make up the billions of people in the world will be burned up in annihilation forever. Next, our verse gives the reason as to why Satan and his people take no elect out of the field, neither cut down any elect out of the forests. That is why Satan and his people are not able to silence the elect in these days of judgment. Why, it is because they, the elect, shall burn the weapons with fire. This is revealing to us that during the time of judgment, from May 21, 2011 to the last day, the judgment message of the elect is burning up the weapons of Satan. That is, as we learned in the previous verse, it has made the weapons of Satan of no effect. And this is why the elect are not silenced by Satan and his people. Satan's goal has always been to keep all the elect from becoming saved. But now that they are all saved, he has been defeated. And it is as if his weapons have been burned to the ground, as they have proved to be of no effect against the saving power of Yahweh. So whereas Satan had good reason to silence the gospel during the church age in his attempt to keep the elect from becoming saved, because all the elect had not yet become saved, that good reason now no longer exists. So why would he still attempt to keep the elect from being saved? He doesn't. So it is as if all his weapons have been burned up in the fire that has been kindled by the Word of God in these many days of Judgment Day. Finally, in our verse we read, "And they, the elect, shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God." Actually, the word God should be translated as Yahweh. Whereas Satan and his people were permitted to spoil and plunder the churches from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, in order to bring Yahweh's spiritual judgment against them, the elect, through the Word of God, spoiled and plundered Satan and his armies beginning on May 21, 2011. Satan and his armies spoiled and plundered the churches by infiltrating them with false gospels that could not save, and by silencing the true gospel by spiritually killing the elect, while the elect spoiled and plundered Satan and his armies by ushering in Judgment Day through the Word of God, which resulted in Satan being deposed from ruling over the churches and the world and brought an end to any possibility of salvation for anyone who was not saved on or before May 21, 2011. This is guaranteed eternal death for Satan and his armies, either through dying forever in the normal course of their lives or on the last day when Satan, his demons, and all the remaining billions of unsaved people in the world will be burned up to be annihilated forever. On the other hand, Yahweh will then create a new heaven and earth, and the elect will live therein forever with Yahweh in their new bodies, where there is no pain, no suffering, no sadness, no sickness, no disease, no degeneration in body or strength, and no wrath, but only joy, bliss, and glory under the unconditional love of our Lord and King, Yahweh, the one and only true God. Amen and amen. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.